This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. This is Riyad Orzazi welcoming you all to the stories of the prophets. And this is episode number 30. And today, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to be covering two prophets. We're going to be covering, inshallah, Prophet Dhul-Kifl and starting Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Right, so let me just give a quick minute for more people to join and then we can start, inshallah ta'ala. This is Stories of the Prophets and it's the series which we have started in a way before Ramadan. Or no, it's after Ramadan actually. It's after Ramadan. And today is episode number 30. So 30 sessions already. 30 sessions already. Alright, so yalla, bismillah. Just yep. Okay. Yeah, Omar is calling. Yallah, bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala. Let's start, inshallah, ta'ala. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala. The prophet that we're going to talk about today, inshallah, ta'ala, those of you who just joined, two prophets, we're going to start with Dhul-Kifl. Dhul-Kifl. And then, because we finished talking about Yusuf alayhi salam, and we finished talking about Ayyub alayhi salam, right? So these are the, the last prophet that we spoke about, what Ayyub. And so now we're going to start a new prophet, Dhul-Kifl. Dhul-Kifl, is he a prophet or is he a wise man? Who is he? You know, Dhul-Kifl. Because there were some discrepancies, you know, some people actually said he is not a prophet. He is from like a wise man, like Luqman. But in fact, he is actually a prophet. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions him in the Quran. We have Surah Sa'd, verse number 48. Surah Sa'd, verse number 48. وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَاعِيلَ وَالْيَسَعَ وَذَا الْكِفْلِ وَكُلٌّ مِّنَ الْأَخْيَارِ Muhammad, and then mention Ismail and Al-Yasa'. Al-Yasa' is another prophet, you know, Elisha, you know, Al-Yasa' in Arabic, but in English they call him, I think, Elisha or Elisha. And Wadhal Kifl, and Dhal Kifl kullum min al-akhyar. They're all from among the best, from Al-Akhyar, among the best. So what is the story of this man, of this prophet, you know, Dhul Kifl? He's not like a very, you know, long story, because there are some prophets, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, some prophets we favored over others. Like in Surah Al-Baqarah, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Those were the prophets we favored some over others. We favored some over others. So 124,000, you know, prophets altogether that were sent out. You know, and we only in the Quran, there's only few that were mentioned. And amongst those few, there were some that are mentioned more than the others, like Musa alayhi salam, for instance, right? You know, so according to the Ibn Jarir, one of the, you know, interpreters and historians, Ibn Jarir, he narrates that that he was not a prophet, but he was a righteous man. And I'm giving you both opinions, right? Ibn Jarir, he says he was a righteous man. But according to Al-Qurtubi, Ibn Kathir, and Al-Tabari, they said that he was actually, you know, since Allah Azza wa Jal mentions him in the Quran by name, with Ismail wa Idris wa Dhil Kifl. Allah Azza wa Jal in another ayah says, wa Ismail wa Idrisa wa Dhil Kifl kullun min as-sabirin. Ismail and Idris. And Dhul-Kifl, one more time, Allah mentions him, he is from the Sabirin. They were all from those who are patient, those who observe patience. The story of this man is really interesting. You know, I'll try to summarize it for you, why he was called Dhul-Kifl. Dhul-Kifl from Takaful. You know, when you commit to something and you fulfill your commitment, Dhul-Kifl. You know, or you takaffala bihi. You know, we say fulan takaffala bi something. You know, takaffal means he is sponsoring, you know, that particular project, or he's sponsoring this particular boy or girl or kid or whatnot. So we say in Arabic takaful. So Dhul-Kifl, who, you know, what's his story? Ibn Abbas, he narrates, and this is in Sahih Muslim, Ibn Abbas narrates that there was a qadi in Medina. There was a qadi in one of the cities in this qadi, this judge. This judge, as he was about to die, so he asked if somebody, you know, people who wanted to replace him, but these people, they have to fulfill, you know, they have to fulfill some, you know, commitments. They have to make some oaths or some promises and fulfill those promises. He has to fast, you know, three fulfillment altogether, three oaths. Whoever needs to take the place of this qadi, he has to make this or fulfill these three oaths. One of the oaths is to fast during the day, yasum bin nahar, to fast during the day, and yaqum al-layl, and he stands up and pray at night, wala yaghdab, and he should never get angry. Whosoever fulfills these three requests or these three promises or oaths, then he can take the, you know, he can become the new judge, the new qadi of the town, you know. So came in this man, and he says, I shall fulfill those oaths, you know, to fast during the day, to pray during the night, and to never get mad, to never get upset. So it comes the shaitan, the big shaitan. He tells his shayateen, try to make this man get angry. Because, you know, shaitan, you have big, you know, small shayateen, and the main shaitan, Iblis. Iblis is the main, you know, the main shaitan. And then he has these servants, you know, the little shayateen, the little shushus. So he told them, try to make this man, you know, get him angry. Get him angry so that he's not going to fulfill one of the oaths, and then he will not become the new judge. So these the little servants, the little shayateen, they tried to make this, you know, this man try to get him angry, but they couldn't, right? They failed. So they went to the big shaitan. They said, we couldn't fulfill, you know, we couldn't get him to get upset or to get mad. So shaitan says, I'll do it myself. So he took upon that oath to do it himself. So he came to him in a form of an old man one day. He came to him in the form of an old man, and as you know, and as one of the oaths, he would, you know, fast during the day and sleep and don't, you know, and make qiyam, you know, pray during the night. So he wouldn't even sleep during the night. He had only one time where he would sleep, which is during the qaylula, you know, the late afternoon, you know, the qaylula one. That's the only time where he would just take a quick nap, and then the whole day is fasting, the whole night is praying. You know, so he would come to him, this old man, you know, this shaitan in the form of an old man, at that time, and he would knock at the door right before he wants to sleep. And then he would knock at the door, and he would tell him, an old man, madloom, I've been oppressed, madloom, my friends, my family, qawmi, between me and my people, they did this to me, they did that to me, they oppressed me, and he started complaining, an old man complaining. And then, you know, that man is listening, and the shaitan, in the form of that old sheikh, keeps on, you know, telling him about his problems. Until the time of the qaylula goes over, the time of the nap goes over. And then he goes. So now he cannot sleep, so he did not sleep at night, and he did not sleep during the day. So miskin, like, you know, he 24 hours awake, you know, awake. And then he goes back to do his thing because he couldn't sleep. And then the next day again, right before he wants to go to sleep, you know, to take a nap, that old man comes in, shaitan, and knock at the door. I told my people what he told me, but they still, you know, they did this to me, they did that to me, they did not, and he kept on complaining. ظلموني ظلموني, they oppressed me, until the Qaylula time went over again, one more time, until that split, you know, the time where he had to rest, that went over. And he told him what to do, right? He gave him an advice, and then he goes, but then he looks, and then, you know, the time for his rest has gone. So the next day, the third day, he told his family, he says, lock the doors, don't let anybody in. Don't let anyone in, right? I'm going to go and have to take it. He hasn't slept for 2 days. He hasn't slept for 48 hours. So on the third day, he told his family, don't let anyone in. So he goes to take his nap. As he was about to go, you know, take his nap, Shaitan again comes to knock at the door. No, they won't let him in because, you know, he's sleeping. But then Shaitan is from, you know, fire. You know, this is Allah Azza wa Jalla created him from fire. So he turns into a smoke. And then from smoke, he saw an entrance, you know, and then he goes in. He goes inside his room. He goes inside, you know, his chamber. And then he, you know, he goes there. As he was about to sleep, then he saw him standing before him. Who got you in? Who let you in? I told them to close the doors. I told them not to let anyone in. Who told him? So he realized, min ayna atayt, who are you? Where did you come from? You know, then he realized that he is aduwallah. He says, you are aduwallah. You're the enemy of Allah. You are shaitan. He says, yes, I am. You are shaitan. He says, yes, I am. I did this, this, and this, and that. I tried to get you to get angry, but I still failed. He failed because, the, you know, he didn't get angry. He failed. Qala aduwallah. He says, na'am, I'm adu. You know, he says, you are the enemy of Allah. He says, yes, I am. And he still did not get mad. He still did not get mad. So Allah Azza wa Jal gave him that name of Dhul Kifl. Dhul Kifl, he made a promise and he fulfilled his promise. So he became Dhul Kifl or Dhul Kifl, right? Not Dhul Kifl, but Dhul Kifl. So this is in a nutshell, the story of Dhul Kifl. Nothing much about him. There's no much ahadith or nothing much about this man. Who was he sent to? What people? What was his? You know, did he? We don't know much about him other than this particular story. But he is a prophet that Allah Subhanahu wa Taala mentions in the Quran. A man who committed to something and he fulfilled his commitment. So that's with regard to Dhul Kifl. My brothers and sisters, after Dhul Kifl, then there is another prophet that we want to talk about, and this prophet, you know, came right after the Dhul Kifl. You know, this prophet is, as you all know, the prophet Musa alayhi salam. And with prophet Musa, my brothers and sisters, it will take us maybe, I don't know, maybe 10 episodes. Wallahu a'lam, maybe more. Allahu a'lam, how many episodes we'll be talking about just Musa alayhi salam. We're going to live with the story of Musa alayhi salam. Right, we're going to live with the story because we will derive so many lessons from the story of Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam is and Harun, right? Musa and Harun. This name is mentioned 136 times in the Quran, more than 130 times. Imagine Musa alone by name is mentioned more than he is the prophet who's mentioned more than any other prophet in the Quran. Musa, even his story. His story is mentioned so many times in the Quran, but his name is mentioned 136 times in the Quran alone. Musa, the shoulder to the oppressed. Maybe I should call him, or I should call the, you know, a nickname of Musa alayhi salam. Give him that nickname, give him that, you know, that title. The title is the shoulder to the oppressed. And you will see. You will see how he was indeed the shoulder to the oppressed, or the back to the oppressed. You know, giving hands to the oppressed. Whenever he sees somebody who's been oppressed, he goes and give them a hand. Alayhi salatu wassalam. He is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent him li bani Israel. He was sent him to the children of Israel. And you know, when we say the children of Israel, Israel is Yaqub alayhi salam, or Jacob. Jacob is the, you know, the father of Yusuf alayhi salam. Right, the father of Yusuf, and we talked about Yaqub and, you know, and Yusuf and their brothers, and also Yaqub, he is the son of Ishaq, who is the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam, right? The brother of Ismail. So Musa alayhi salam was sent to Banu Israel. The majority of the prophets, brothers and sisters, were sent to Banu Israel. The majority of the prophets. But this man, he lived with them for very long, too long. There's a huge story just about him and Banu Israel. Yani they asked for so many miracles and he brought the miracles. They saw miracles before their hands or before their eyes. Yet a lot of them did not believe. You know, Musa alayhi salam. Tawseen meem. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Natlu alayka min naba'i Musa wa fir'auna bilhaqqa. In Surah Al-Qasas, we're going to live a lot with Surah Al-Qasas, Surah Al-Taha, Surah Al-Shu'ara, all these surahs, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to live with them, you know, to learn about the story of Musa alayhi salam. We should have maybe one course, just one course talking about Musa alayhi salam. Musa. He was sent to Banu Israel, but then in where? In a country called Egypt. And who used to live in Egypt? Fir'aun. Who is Fir'aun? Fir'aun, whenever you know when you have the leader of the ruler of Egypt, they used to call him Fir'aun. Fir'aun is not only one man, by the way. Fir'aun, they're just the rulers of Egypt at the time, they used to call them Fir'aun, just like the Roman Caesar or the rulers of Abyssinia, they have that name. The rulers of Byzantia, the rulers of Persia, they have a name. So the ruler of Egypt, they're Fir'aun. But the man who used to live at the time, when Musa was there, his name is Minfitah. Minfitah or Mereftah, I think Mereftah in English, but in Arabic, Minfitah. Mereftah. Mereftah, maybe if it's pronounced correctly, but he ruled from 1230 until this is AD 1215 AD. He used to live at that in that era, at that time, and Musa was sent to that to Banu Israel. But the miracle of Musa, his story is filled with miracles. Fir'aun, my brothers and sisters, he saw a dream. Just like, remember, Yusuf saw a dream. Yusuf saw a dream and then he went to his father to interpret the dream for him. Now, Musa saw a dream. What kind of dream? He says, a man will be born from Banu Israel and he will terminate his monarchy. He will finish him. He will kill him. He will, terminate and finish off his monarchy or his dominion. So what did Musa, what did Fir'aun decide to do? Fir'aun, he says, for every year, from Banu Israel, every year we're gonna, all the newly born, from Banu Israel, from the boys, we will kill them. So one year we'll kill them and the other year we'll set them free. One year we'll kill them and one year we'll set them free. So the year where they set them free, Harun was born. Harun was born. And the year where they had to kill them, they Musa alayhi salam was born. So Musa was born in the year where the kids of Banu Israel were to be killed. Whereas Harun, his brother, was born in the year where they were set free. So this is the vision that Fir'aun saw. And then the interpreters from his monarchy told them, listen, this is what you should do. But why, by the way, brothers and sisters, why, this is a question for all of you, whether you're on Facebook or Instagram, why they decided, to free them 1 year and 1 year to kill them. Okay, we understood that, 1 year to kill them, but 1 year to free them. Why did they decide to free them, that year? Why 1 year yes, 1 year like every other year? Every other year, they will, slaughter the children of Banu Israel, the newborns. Any new baby, they will be killed. But the other year, they will set them free. Why? Does anybody know? Why would they set them free? Would anybody know why would they be set free? brothers from Facebook, sisters, and brothers from Instagram. Does anybody have an idea why Musa, I mean, why Fir'aun and his people, they decided 1 year to kill them and 1 year to set them free? Some people said otherwise there would be less male population. No, it's not less male population, otherwise there would be no children. The Egyptians, they have children. The Egyptians would have children, but only from Banu Israel, only from the children of Israel. Riaz is right, slaves, because they were slaves and they need workers. They need workers, right? They need workers. They were slaves and they need workers. So, you know, Banu Israel, they were slaves working and serving, you know, Banu Israel, serving the Egyptians. So they will not kill the Egyptians, but they will only kill, you know, the kids from Banu Israel. But if they were to kill them all, there will be no more slavery. There will be no more, you know, people to do the dirty work, like Elias says. There will be no more people to do the work. They will to serve them and whatnot. So they said, 1 year we will save them. You know, just at least we can have more babies and, you know, and more men to, you know, eventually there will be men to become slave and work for us. And then, and 1 year we'll kill them. So that's the reason why they, you know, they made that decision to set them free for 1 year. But brothers and sisters, how would they know that the wives or the mothers of Banu Israel, the mothers, you know, they were pregnant? You know, a mom, she's pregnant, you know, and she knows that year her baby will be killed. So how would the mom, what was the trick? What did Fir'aun and his soldiers do? He had a plan. Fir'aun had a plan with his soldiers. What the plan was of four, you know, steps. Step one, he had Egyptian women going around, you know, the women from Banu Israel to, you know, look for the women who are, you know, kind of like pregnant. They are women from Egyptian women to go around, you know, just regular women, you know, to go around and spotting the women who are pregnant from Banu Israel. That's step number one. Step number two, any woman who's pregnant from Banu Israel, they will mark her house with a sign that only the soldiers would know. Because if they were to mark, you know, that houses with some, you know, sign that even the moms would know or the people of Banu Israel would know, they would just go and wipe them up or something, right? You know, and then, you know, just erase the sign. But they would put a mark or a sign on those houses that only the soldiers would know. They would not say anything. You know, this house has a woman who's pregnant. So they would just go and mark that house. That's, you know, step number two. Step number three, they used to have, you know, raids. They would just go and raid a house that has got, you know, women who are about to deliver babies. They would just go, the soldiers, and raid their houses. And step number four, they had spies. They had spies. And subhanAllah, these spies is something that, it's not something new in our time now, but spies happened, you know, for a long time. You know. So even at the time of Musa alayhi salam, at the time of Fir'aun, they had spies. And there was one spy. There was one man who used to serve Fir'aun. This man is mentioned in the Quran. If you know his name, I will give you a prize. He's a bad man, and he lived until Musa's time. So he lived with Musa, right? He was at the time of Musa when Musa became, you know, a prophet. But this man chose to serve Fir'aun and be with Fir'aun, right? So who, and Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions him in the Quran, by the way. Who do you think this man is? And if you know who this man is, I will give you a prize, inshallah ta'ala. All right, yalla. I'm waiting for answers from Facebook right here and answers from Instagram. So we said they had four steps, and the last steps is they had spies going around. Haman? No, he wasn't. That's not Haman. No. Haman was his wazir. Yes, his minister of يعني موسى's I mean فرعون's minister, you know, Haman. Or, you know, but it wasn't, it was not, I'm not talking about Haman, no. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions him, he has a story of his own. If I tell you his name, you say, oh, really? Yes, that's him. Anybody else other than Riyaz? There, some people maybe, you know, checking, you know, Google and going around and maybe trying to laugh. I'll tell you his name. I'll tell you his name because people, you can, you know, I'll tell you his name. His name is Qarun. His name is Qarun. So Qarun, you know, he used to live with Musa alayhi salam. And then Qarun was actually, you know, sided with Fir'aun because he wanted this dunya, he wanted life, he wanted wealth, he wanted, you know, and then he sided with Fir'aun. So Qarun, he was actually serving as a spy for Fir'aun. Ummu Musa, brothers and sisters, the mother of Musa. And by the way, who named him Musa? We will tell you again, you know, who named him Musa, because, you know, he was born as a baby, and then he was thrown into the water, you know, and then they called him. So who named him Musa? And what's the name? What does Musa mean? Musa, what does it mean? So I don't know. This is, you know, some of the things to think about, inshallah ta'ala. So Ummu Musa, she became pregnant, and she had also a plan. She had a plan with her daughter. She had a daughter by the name of Miriam. She is the daughter, you know, the sister of Musa and the sister of Harun. You know, her name is Miriam. Not Mary. No, this is another Miriam. You know, Miriam, there's many Miriams. You know, not Miriam, the mother of Isa. This is Miriam, the sister of Musa alayhi salam. Not the mother of Isa, but the sister of Musa, another Miriam. So she had a plan with Miriam. And also a plan with her neighbor, the neighbor right there. Miriam will go around, and if she sees that the soldiers are coming, she will go to her mom, her house, and then the mom, you know, will switch between, you know, her house and the neighbor's house, you know. So when the neighbors go to their, you know, when the soldiers go to her neighbor's house, you know, to check there's no pregnant woman here, and then they will go and check some other houses before they, you know, they come to Musa's house. So the mother of Musa, she will run to the neighbor's house and she will hide there. So when the soldiers come to the mothers of Musa's home, they would not find any pregnant lady. So, but who, you know, it was the mother of Musa, the neighbor, and her daughter. They were playing, you know, they're trying to, subhanAllah, try to protect themselves. Because imagine, you know, a mom who's pregnant. Normally moms, when they're pregnant, they're happy, they're excited. We're gonna, especially when they're their first baby, they get really happy and excited. But here's this mom who's pregnant, but she's not happy. Here's this mom who's pregnant and she's scared and terrified, because what if my baby gets born, they will, you know, they will kill him. So I want you to put yourself in the place of Ummu Musa's, you know, shoes. Put yourself in her shoes, and, you know, she's pregnant and she's really terrified. Not only that, you know, imagine her giving birth and she's not able to scream. She's not able to scream because, you know, when you know, women, they give birth, there's a lot of pain and they scream, subhanAllah. You know, it's a painful process. You know, it's a painful process. So you just imagine this mom who's giving birth and she's not allowed to scream, because if she was to scream, you know, the spies who's going around, they will hear her, they will send a message to the soldiers will come and then take her baby and kill him. So it's difficult when you read the Quran and understand the story and live with the story, right? So it makes more sense, and then you can live with it. This is why when we talk about the stories of the prophets, I don't just narrate the story as it happens. I want you to live the moment. I want you to be there and feel and see and see the scenario, see the scene before your eyes, so that you can live with them and understand, see what's going on. So that, you know, it will make more sense to you. You know, a mom who's pregnant, okay, and she gave birth. But put your shoes in this, you know, and put yourself in her shoes. She's pregnant and she's scared and she cannot scream while she's giving birth, because the soldiers may come at any time and take her baby and kill her. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this beautifully, because today, brothers and sisters, Musa will be born. Today Musa will be born. Beautiful boy, very beautiful boy, Musa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with this special characteristic. What is this special characteristic? If you were to see Musa, you love him. You see him, you love him. And you will see that happening when they see him in the palace. They will see him in the palace, they will fall in love with Musa. A baby. You see him, you love him. Allah blesses him with this special, you know, characteristics. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says in the Quran, Surah Taha, verse number 39. Taha, verse number 39. وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِّنِّي. And I endued you with love from me. I endued you with love from me. Yani Allah blessed him with love from him. وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِّنِّي. Not only Allah loves him, anybody who sees him, they would love him. They would not want to harm him. Musa alayhi salam. This is as he was a baby. So today Musa alayhi salam will be born, my brothers and sisters. And as I said, please imagine his mom giving birth to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this beautifully in Surah Al-Qasas, verse number 7. Al-Qasas, verse number 7. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِيهِ فَإِنْ خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْكِ وَجَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَأَوْحَيْنَا. And we inspired the mother of Musa. Is she a prophet? No, she's not a prophet. We inspired her. Allah inspired the mother of Musa. What kind of inspiration? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "An ardi'i," to suckle him. Yani you're going to give birth to him. And this is the wish of every woman who gives birth. The very first wish of every woman who gives birth is she wants to have her son and hugs him and suckle him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill that hope and that wish for the mother of Musa. First, look at the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِيهِ فَإِنْ خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ. And we inspired the mother of Musa to suckle her baby. And if you're scared that they may take him, you know, and kill him, فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ. Look at this. You know, it's like contradictory statement. If you are scared that they may kill him, throw him into the river. Excuse me. If you are scared that they will kill him, throw him into the river. But that's not how I'm going to protect my baby. If I throw him into the river, that's even worse. Throw him into the river, baby. Put him in a basket, throw him in the river. Yes, if you want to protect him, throw him in the river. Imagine this. This is how the when we talked about tawakkul, when we talked about, you know, delegating your affairs to Allah, there is that you know, that rule. If you remember, we know we spoke about a rule. It's a definition. You've got to make an effort, and sometimes this effort may look or sound very difficult, and it may not even make sense to you. Yeah, and you're telling me if I want to save my baby, throw him in the river. Yes, if you want to save your baby, throw him in the river, in the Nile. Throw him in the Nile, throw him in the river. But the river, there'd be maybe snakes, maybe scorpions, maybe, I don't know, maybe sharks, maybe he will drown, maybe waves, maybe. But Allah Azza wa Jal has his plan. Allah says, do. Just like he told Ibrahim, slaughter your son, slaughter your son. Do this, do that. I mean, this is it. So Allah inspired her. With what? Number one, I'm going to fulfill you the wish. Suckle your baby. That's number one. Number two, here's the, look, you know, if you're scared, throw him into the river. But Allah makes a promise. He gives her a promise. What kind? Two promises. Allahu Akbar. Two promises. If you were to do so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told her, don't be scared and don't be sad. We shall bring him back and we shall make him from the prophets. If you were to do as you were told, don't be scared. وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. And don't be sad. Inna radduhu ilayk. We shall bring him back to you. And we shall make him from the prophets. Min al-mursaleen, min al-messengers. We shall make him from the messengers. Look at the beauty of this surah, of this ayah, verse number 7 from Surah Al-Qasas. This particular verse, my brothers and sisters, requires more time. It requires more time. Really. I want to save my baby. Go to the like here in Canada, you know, Niagara Falls. You know Niagara Falls? Yeah, go to the falls and throw the baby there. If you want to save him, throw him in the falls. Or throw him in the bay. Throw him in the bay. Throw him in that river, whatever the river, you know, throw him. You want to save him, right? Throw him in the river. Makes no sense. Number two, don't be scared and don't be sad. We shall bring him back. Not only we shall bring him back, we promise to bring him back to you and to make him from the messengers. A slave to become a messenger, to become a ruler. How can that happen? They plan and Allah plans, and Allah is the best of planners. They plan and Allah has his own plans. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of the planners. So I'm imagining now this mother putting her baby in this basket and she's about to throw him in the river. And maybe Musa is looking at her crying maybe. Maybe saying, or he doesn't speak, but looking at her, "Mom, what are you doing? Mom, are you going to throw me in the river?" And as a لَوْلَا أَرَّبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا, in one of the ayah, Allah Azza says, we made her heart feel, you know, be strong, because she's a mother. Regardless, she's a mom. That's her liver, that's her heart, that's her baby. يعني, yes, Allah told her to do something, but at the moment, I'm just thinking at the moment of where she's going to go and throw her baby, she must have gone through so many things in her mind. Most likely crying, cursing Fir'aun, or I don't know. Musa is looking and says, "What are you doing?" Crying. But she suckled him. She suckled him. Right? She did suckle him. At least she got that wish. Because every woman, right, who wants to give birth, or she gives birth right after birth, what do? They don't take the baby and put it in the father's chest, with all the respect. No, they don't take the baby and put it in the father's chest. They put it on, or they put him or her on the mother's chest. Sisters, why? Those of you who have babies, like sister, like, and kids, you know, Sister Fatima, the others, why? Why do they put the baby on the mom's chest? Why, Sister Hanifa, Sister Lula, and Humaira, and Nada? Why? Why would they do that? The heart? To connect them to the mom's heart? Yes, Sister Yashmi. Absolutely. To connect to the mom's heart, he feels that, because there was that beating inside. Now, when he was in the womb of the mother, there was that vibration, the heart vibration, right? So the baby comes out. The baby comes out in this world. What is going on? Let's just say a baby is talking. Let's say baby is talking. You know, the baby is talking. Say, "Hey guys, what are you doing? What am I? What is this world?" And then he sees the father with this big beard. "Who are you? Who is this monster?" And then he sees this dog, this huge nurse. This huge nurse. "Help!" If the baby was to speak, you see this huge nurse, "Help!" This and that, you know, and then he's coming up. And then right after, you know, he's struggling, they put him on the mother's chest and he feels calm and soothness and he's all cool. He feels that vibration, the heart's beat of the mom. He remembers those. He connects with them. "Oh, yeah, I remember this when I was back home in there. Yes, this makes sense. I feel peace. I feel calm. I feel tranquil. Now I'm talking." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled her wish. Allah fulfilled her wish. And Allah will fulfill more wishes, more of her wishes. You will see what's going to happen when he goes to the palace of Fir'aun. You will see why Musa had to grow up in the palace of Fir'aun. Why Musa, just like Yusuf alayhi salam, he had to grow up in the palace of the minister of Egypt. Musa has to grow up in the palace of Fir'aun for many reasons. For many reasons. You will understand why, inshallah ta'ala. We will leave it here, my brothers and sisters. We will leave it here, inshallah ta'ala. And we will carry on. This is just an intro to Musa and the story of Musa alayhi salam. We haven't even gone deep into the guts of the story, but trust me, the story of Musa for me, maybe it's one of the best stories ever. The story of Musa alayhi salam. This is why it's very long, and this is why it's going to take us several sessions, inshallah ta'ala. So brothers and sisters, jazakum Allah khair. This is Riyad Razazi. May Allah bless you all. May Allah reward you all. Thank you for joining. Barakallahu fikum. We'll see you tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Same time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 p.m. UK time. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you, Facebook. And thank you, Instagram. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum.